This is Growing in Grace with Richard O'Phil.
Not long ago, someone asked me, if God already knows everything, why do we need to pray? Now, that's a legitimate question because Scripture tells us that God knows the secrets of our hearts. And so we don't pray to inform God of what we need. He already knows. The process of praying, then, is one in which we are made aware of our own needs. Sometimes we say we don't think the Lord hears our prayers. Of course, our omnipotent and omnipresent God hears and knows everything, even those prayers that don't seem to go any higher than the ceiling. It only seems to us that He's not listening, and this is because there are certain hindrances or certain barriers which keep Him from reaching us in answering our prayers. But these barriers are created by us, not by Him. Sometimes our prayers are not answered, not because they are not within the will of God, but because of other problems in our lives. If our request were granted, it would be interpreted by us that God approves of us or has chosen to overlook some serious character flaw that we might have. I've flown on large jets that have two or four engines, as I'm sure you have. I've been told that in the event of an emergency, the plane will fly on even one engine. Unfortunately, friend, the Christian life will not fly on just one engine. A person who is ignoring important character flaws and at the same time is trying to grow spiritually will find their prayer life ineffective. In this program, I'm going to talk with you about a very serious barrier to answered prayer. And that barrier is bitterness and resentment. It's probably the most common and most serious barrier to prayer. In Matthew 6, verse 12, it says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Forgiving those who have wronged us, then, is not an option. Further along in Matthew 6, it says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now the thought that immediately comes to mind is that this means we must forgive only those who have wronged us and who said they were sorry. But forgiveness goes beyond this. The Bible calls on us to forgive those who have wronged us and not made it right. Remember the text. It says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Don't you see? They're still our debtors. They still owe us something. They've not asked for forgiveness or made things right with us. Now, we might insist, but why does God say that we must forgive a person who's not sorry? Well, the answer to that is so that we can get on with our lives. I've talked with people who are bitter and resentful. I remember talking with a person who had been wronged 40 years earlier. I could see it in their face. It was as if it had just happened yesterday. One day I was talking with a young adult who was particularly bitter and resentful towards her mother. The person said, "I don't know how I could ever forgive my mother for what she did to me." I asked how long ago that had been. 20 years, was the reply. One day a person came into my office whose life had been badly damaged by another person. At one point in the conversation, I asked if they'd ever thought to pray for that person. "I surely do," they said between gritted teeth. "I pray God will help them to get what they deserve." But then I remember the experience of another person whose daughter had been murdered by her husband. Her daughter had literally married the boy next door. After a few years and one child, a little boy, the marriage went bad. One day, in a rage, the daughter's husband strangled her. This former son-in-law had been tried and convicted and was serving a life sentence. The lady was given custody of her grandchild. Notice, the boy was now becoming an early teen, and the grandparent confessed to me she was so bitter that now she even found herself hating her grandson. Oh, my friend, the point is, bitterness and resentment will spread to others in our lives. Bitterness and resentment also have a particular characteristic in that they are omnipresent. Now, let's suppose there's a young man who lives in Key West, Florida, who for some reasons unknown to us is bitter and resentful against his father. The young man decides he's going to leave home, and he's going to get as far away from his dad as he possibly can. And so he decides he will try to get a job in Alaska. He tells the world he's fed up with his dad, and he wants to get his dad out of his life, and so he's going to get as far away as possible from his dad. But those who are older and wiser could inform this young man that even though he may leave Key West and go to Alaska, his dad is going to go along with him. Now he could argue and say, that'll never be. But no, we insist. His dad is going with him because his dad is in his mind. To the extent that a person harbors bitterness against anyone, so the memory of that person will always plague them. The person against whom we are bitter and resentful goes with us wherever we go. They're with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As long as we harbor bitterness, we can never get away from them. On another occasion, a grandfather came into my office. He told me the story of his precious granddaughter who had been raped and murdered. The authorities apprehended the killer, and he was in prison. This dear brother confessed that his life had become full of bitterness and resentment for what had happened, and he found himself hating the murderer. But even worse, he began to discover his bitterness and resentment toward the murderer was beginning to spill over onto other people in his life, until finally he discovered his bitterness and resentment was now being directed toward God. He recognized what was happening to him. The bitterness was like a cancer in his soul, and he knew that he couldn't go on like this. So he fell to his knees one day, and he poured out his heart to God. He confessed his feelings, and he asked the Lord to forgive him and to give him the gift of forgiveness. What happened in this case? One thing that didn't happen was that the granddaughter didn't come back to life. Even the murderer wasn't converted. But a wonderful miracle occurred, because the gift of forgiveness healed the heart of the grandfather, and so that now he could get on with his life. When I was 18 years old, I worked on a plastering crew. One day we went out to stucco a house. We arrived early to make sure the equipment and the materials were ready for us to work. We found that the equipment and the materials had already been delivered. Now, one of the things that was there was an electric cement mixer. And so we strung the extension cord and plugged in the machine. The mixer switch was on when it had been unplugged, because the instant my friend plugged it in, the paddles began to turn. There must have been something wrong with the tines on the plug, because as soon as my buddy dropped the cord on the ground, it disconnected. He picked it up and began to spread the tines so that the connection would hold together. In the meantime, I noticed that there were some twigs in the bottom of the mixer. In the very instant I put my arm into the mixer to get the twigs out, my friend plugged in the cord. The motor started up at once, and the paddles caught my arm and broke it instantly. Thank God, my buddy immediately unplugged the mixer, and he saved my arm, but it was badly broken. If you've ever had a broken bone, you know at first there's a dull sensation, but not for long. It becomes sharp, and soon there is persistent pain. We got into the truck, and we went to the hospital emergency room, and after what seemed hours, my arm was set in a cast. When the specialist came to see me, he said that because of the nature of the fracture, it was not going to heal cleanly, but it would leave a knot of bone at the side of the break. This knot would make it impossible for me to rotate my forearm. He suggested doing what is called an open reduction. This would require a surgical procedure in which he would insert a stainless steel pin down the center of each bone into my lower arm through and past the point of the fracture. And this would align them properly and avoid the knot. He told me the surgery would leave some large scars, but at least I would be able to move my arm. I told him to go ahead, and he did. I don't need to tell you. Till this day, I have two large scars and two smaller ones on my right forearm. And friend, they're there for life. I'm telling you this story to illustrate that though the scars are permanent, the pain is gone. What I'm trying to say is, you may have been badly hurt by someone or something in your past, but you can't live your life over again. The damage is done. Life is not like the story of a teenager who had his first automobile accident, and when night came, he prayed, Lord, help that accident not to have happened. We're wasting our time if we pray like that. Though we will carry for life the scars of what has happened to us, we can ask the Lord to take away the pain. And He does this by giving us the gift of forgiveness. However, if we continue to hold bitterness and resentment in our hearts, make no mistake, it becomes a hindrance to our prayers. You remember the mother whose daughter had been strangled that I was telling you about? I asked her if she had prayed that God would give her the gift of forgiveness. She confessed she had almost given up praying. In fact, she said she thought that if she were to ask the Lord to give her a spirit of forgiveness, it would mean she didn't care anymore that her daughter had been killed. I explained that a wrong committed will always be a wrong. When Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," that didn't mean that what they were doing was right. Do you see? Prayer, asking for the gift of forgiveness, simply enables us to get on with our lives and to experience a new start. Because bitterness and resentment stops our lives. Thank God that in forgiveness we can get a new start. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, all of us through our lives have been hurt. And as a result, we have felt the pain of bitterness and resentment. I'm so thankful that You have the gift of forgiveness for us. And we ask right now in a special way that You would give us that gift so that we can put the past behind us and so that we can get a new start through Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Growing in Grace with Richard O'Phill. For more information, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651.